I'd like to read a passage of Scripture in Acts chapter 20. The Apostle Paul had ministered in Ephesus for a lengthy period of time. Lengthy, not in today's standards of missionary service. We wouldn't consider 3.5 years as a long term. You know, that's even shorter than a regular term of service in a particular area. But the Apostle Paul went along with other co-workers who a lot of times stayed ministering in these places as he would go on and serve somewhere else. But he comes and greets and meets with the elders of the church at Ephesus. Not in Ephesus, but over on the beach side. He gives his farewell address, and you're familiar with the passage. I'm not going to read it all, but I'd like to read verse 32. It says, Acts 20, 32. Says, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." He had just warned these elders about the troubles that probably will occur, the dangers. He talked about people that would grievous wolves enter in among them, not sparing the flock. The same leadership, people would start going against God's plan in the ministry. And so he warns them. He says, you know, I'm leaving. You will probably not see my face anymore, but I commend you to God. Here we see Paul's trust. He trusted God. And this commending is like a deposit that is given for protection. Paul was no longer around them. He wouldn't be around much more time. And he says, you know, I entrust you to God. Paul trusted God to keep these believers. And we say, well, this is for elders. But it's interesting that he calls them brethren. He doesn't say, you know, well, co-workers. He doesn't even say, well, you are ministers, I am an apostle. He calls them brethren, people that have been born of the same womb. And all of us as brethren, we will face dangers. Churches face spiritual dangers. And we need this verse, verse 32, in our life. First of all, we need to trust God. God is the one who can protect us. Apostle John said, greater is he that is in you, that is in the world. You know, our protection among the world in which we live, overcoming the dangers that our churches face, is not due to our enemy's smallness. It's not due to our skillfulness. It's due to God's greatness. We can only say, you know, that we can be overcomers, not because we can do it, but because our God is great. And not because the enemy is small and really puny and, you know, the enemy can't do much. No, he is strong, but our God is stronger. So he trusted in God. And each one of us, we have to trust God. You've had people that you've had to entrust or commit to God also. You've had to say, well, Lord, I've had influence in my children's life for all these years, but now they're married, they're you know, leaving the home. My influence is not going to be as great as when they were under my roof. And I just have to trust you to continue helping them. Maybe you've discipled someone and you're kind of like cutting the umbilical cord or the apron strings. And you say, well, or maybe somebody's departing in your life. And you say, well, I'm not going to be around that person. You know, what is going to happen to their spiritual life? You need to trust God. Commit them to God. He trusted God's word. Notice he says, now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. He trusted God's word. It's interesting because he calls it the word of his grace. He could have chosen any other words, you know, but you can't get any better than trusting God and trusting his word. You know, two things that are infallible They won't change. They're strong. And you can't get any better. You can't be in better hands than God and His Word. And so whenever you are away from someone that you have had spiritual influence, you need to have that same trust in God's Word. God's Word will do the work. It will not come back void. And so Paul warned these people what they were going to face. He warned them. And after warning him, he just trusted God. And he commended them to God. But we also see God's grace here, because that's the word that Paul uses, the word of His grace. He could have chosen many other words. The word of God has a lot of other descriptive words in Scripture. It's the word of the kingdom, the word of Jesus, the word of the Lord, the word of salvation, the word of the gospel, the word of promise, the word of truth, the word of reconciliation, the word of life, the word of Christ, the word of righteousness, the word of exhortation, the word of prophecy, the word of my patience, it says in Revelation. But Paul said the word of grace, because grace was the particular thing that was important for these men at this moment. The characteristic of the grace of God in keeping them. And why does he say the word of God's grace? Because it's the word of God that reveals God's grace. That aspect of God's grace, you cannot, I mean, you can understand, well, God's been good to me looking at creation. But to understand really God's grace, the only way is through Scripture. Scripture has revealed God's grace. That's why prior to this, in verse 24, Paul says, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. The gospel. Gospel means good news. The good news of the grace of God. The good news that God has been gracious, that God is pouring out His grace, and God is saving sinful men. And so that's why he chose that. I commend you to God and to the word of His grace. And the word is also the instrument of God's grace. We cannot avail ourselves of God's grace without the word of God. You know, we need to know God. How can we avail ourselves of God's grace? Knowing God, grace can be multiplied unto us through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ, 2 Peter 1:2 say. So getting to know God better, abiding in Christ, when we depend and abide in Christ, we are strengthened, enabled with God's grace. When we humbly submit ourselves to God, humble yourselves to the Lord's, you know, resist the devil. God gives grace to the humble. When we submit and are humble before the Lord, He fills us with His grace and keeps us that way. And asking God, asking Him for grace. He dispenses grace at the right time. We can come before His throne of grace, and He will give us grace and mercy in due season, right at the right time that we need. But we need to make sure that we're not bitter, right? Because bitterness stops that flow of grace that God wants to give us in our life. God is trustworthy, and we see here the ability of the Bible. We see that the Word of God is quick and powerful. The gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation. And Paul was entrusting the believers to God and to the Word of His grace, to the Scriptures, to the Bible. And the Bible's ability is for edification. It says, to the Word of His grace, which is able, and there's two things that he mentions, is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance. The Bible is able, is strong, capable to build us up, edify. There's not enough time to really go into all of this, but this is talking about edifying on a foundation. That's the word, the Greek word is epi oikodomeo. So it's like building upon something. And what are we built on? The foundation is Jesus Christ. Then it talks about the teaching or the apostles and prophets in the book of Ephesians, which is the doctrine or the teaching of the Word of God. So basically, we are The Bible is able to build us up on the foundation of our faith and trust in Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, and of us getting to know the Word of God and obeying the Word of God. So our foundation is Christ. Really, our foundation is Christ revealed in Scripture. And if we go to the nitty-gritty, we understand that our foundation is obedience to Christ as revealed in the Word of God. Because you can hear a lot. We can be hearers and not doers. And then it's like that man that built on the sand. No foundation whatsoever. He heard a lot. He heard a lot about the Bible. He had a lot of knowledge as far as intellectual knowledge. He knew all the answers. But there's no strong foundation. Brethren, the Bible is able to build us up. And the Bible is also able to give us an inheritance. We have a present inheritance today. A present inheritance of grace. We have been blessed with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Believers have access by faith into a grace wherein we stand. And the Holy Spirit of promise indwells us as the earnest of our inheritance and has given us at least a spiritual gift. As a matter of fact, the Bible uses grace gift, right? So that's part of our inheritance that we've received, and that the Bible is capable of helping us grow and helping us edify in that, and also helping us avail ourselves of this inheritance. We have a present inheritance of grace. I mean, we're not waiting to be heirs. We are heirs. But then also, we Christians have a future inheritance of glory. And that's what we are expecting when the Lord returns, or when it's our time to pass on into eternity through death. And we have an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven. And that's our not only our hope and our desire, but our inheritance, our surety, because we have the Holy Spirit. So when we face those situations that we say, well, I'm not going to have an influence anymore on this person or this individual or this ministry, and even in our own family's life, we need to say, well, I commit you to God because He's able. And the Word of God is able not only to edify us, to build us up, but also to give us that inheritance. And Paul had that confidence. And he said, I know who I've believed, and He is able to keep what I've committed unto Him against that day. And I think that's what we can say all together too. Heavenly Father, as we depart, we are thankful for having a God of grace. We are thankful for having the Word of grace. And we do pray that You will guide our hearts so that we might trust You. We need to do all we can in serving You, protecting other believers, ministering. But also we need to realize that You need to do the rest, that we need to wait upon You. And we pray that as we go on throughout our day and our week and our year, that we might put our eyes on Jesus, that we might have this inheritance, present and future, in our eyesight. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much.